Good morning. This is Choices with your host, Judy Mario. And we know, of course, that everything in our lives exists because we made a choice about something. And the choices that we made are what has brought us to where we are today. And we must accept that we are the consequence of our choices. But, of course, things do happen to us that we didn't choose, and it's just a matter of how we choose to deal with it. And have you ever asked yourself, what's my purpose? Why am I here? What's my reason for living here? Well, that's what we're talking about today, how to find your why, how to find your purpose. And I'm so honored to have our guest today. Amy is the author of a book entitled Tears of Hope. And what it is her riveting true life story of how she lived through the Lebanese Civil War and where she escaped death 3 times. So we're going to be talking to Amy today and learn about some of the powerful lessons and wisdom that she's learned from the choices she's made in her life experiences. Welcome, Amy. Thank you for being with us today.
But thank you for having me.
We are so excited. You know, when I got your book, I was on an airplane from Las Vegas to Washington, and I thought, I'll read this on the plane, and I was just going to kind of scan through it. Well, I started, and I couldn't put it down. Your story is riveting. I read the whole thing before I got to Washington, D.C. It was absolutely incredible. So why don't we just start with there, Amy? Why don't you tell us a bit of your story, and then I'll ask you some questions.
Sure. It all began in 1975 when the Lebanese Civil War started. I was just 12 years old, and we were trying to flee to Egypt to get away from the war, and we were excited as a family to get out of the country before anything happened. And I was sitting in the living room with my brother discussing about schooling and talking to him, and it wasn't like it's going to be a new life for me because I had dyslexia. I didn't know back then it was dyslexia, but I was behind at school. Long story, make it short, I was so excited because he was going to help me when we travel, and I'm going to start a new life, basically. So I needed to get his tea from the kitchen, and I felt like I needed to get up and get him his tea from the kitchen instead of letting him get up and do it. I wanted to serve him. He was trying to serve me, and that's how I felt. And I get up to get to the kitchen, and a few seconds later, I heard a loud, loud, loud explosion. And a bomb flew through the window into that living room. And
I can't imagine how that must have felt to have had a bomb actually be thrown into your home and just blow everything up. I mean, you must have been devastated.
Well, I was shaken to my core every time. The first one came into my brother's room, and then the building was five stories, and it started to come one after another, nonstop. And that was one of the first bombs we ever heard. You know how you adjust to things sometimes? It was like shocking completely. It was like I was standing there in complete shock. And my mom was in the other room. My mom and father was in the other room. She was trying to throw herself from the window because she panicked. She didn't know what's happening.
Yes.
And my father was holding her back not to throw herself. So I'm looking at my mom. She's panicking and trying to throw herself from the window, and I'm looking at the room where I was just there and seeing my brother all in flame and the whole room in flame and chaos. In the blink of the eye, it was chaos completely. And at 12 years old, of course, it was shocking, and at the same time, I felt the whole world stop. Everything.
I'm sure.
Yeah. It was devastating. And that was only the beginning of the harsh life I had, and all the war horror, and the homelessness, and the, you know, a lot followed after that. basically,
I think in the book, didn't it say in the book that you lived through the war for 13 years? Wasn't it quite a long time that your family really struggled to stay together?
Absolutely, absolutely. After that, actually, we lost, they put me in the school in the mountain because we had no home. We had nothing left, of course. We were devastated. Every couple of my families, they stayed with family members or friends, and we couldn't get in touch. They put me and my little brother, 6 years old at that time, way in the mountain to keep us safe over there. And they left us there, and I had no idea for 3 months what happening to my family. And in that mountain at night, you could see the bomb dropping from one area to another area, not knowing what's happening. Is it gonna kill my other brother, my mom, my father? What's happening? So we
left. For a child, that had to be a terribly, terribly horrible experience and devastating to you. But you got through it, and I believe what you were like about 12 years old when you got married, something like that?
No, I was 14. I was 14 years old. But this is what helped me to go through it. See, Judy, this is what helped me to go through it in a little bit easier way. My father was a very, very smart man. And 2 days later, after the bomb happened, and we were sleeping at the people's house, and we didn't know how we were going to even bury my brother and all that stuff. We were still in the chaos, and the whole country shut down. And my father saw me, how scared I was. I was still, you could see me shaking and scared, what's happening, confused. My father came to me. I cannot forget that. He came to me, and he came down to me, and he said, "Amy, look at me. I'm here. Don't be scared." I said, "Daddy, I am scared." He said, "Don't be scared. I'm here. Look at me." I looked at him, and he said, "Look at my eyes." I looked at his eyes, and he said, I didn't know what he was trying to say. You know, I was just still trying to listen to him. And he wanted me to focus. And he said, "No, look it inside my eyes." And I did. And he said, "You see, we have three parts. One is white, one is color, and the other one is a small peephole. It's the black part." I said, "Okay, yes, I see that." And he said, "Sometimes we have to go through darkness to see the light."
Wow.
We have to go through darkness to see the light. And even at that age, it took me to different place to start to think about that, what he's trying to tell me. And I start to search for the light. And every time I went through something, I was searching for the light. And I always see that, okay, I'm in the dark room, in the dark place, and it's my job to seek the light. So that was a huge lesson, what kept me going in the mountain.
Yes,
what kept
yes.
me going in the mountain. And what happened is my brother and I had no food there. Because the country shut down, they couldn't bring food to the mountain. The water shut down. We were eating twice a day, and kind of like a small a sandwich, sometimes once in a while, chicken soup, if they get any wild chicken going, running around.
Yeah.
And my brother was digging in the garbage to find food to eat. I used to give him my food just to take care of him. So it was my job to take care of him, and he became my why I needed to wake up. And this is what happened. this is what happened, Judy. I start to see the light through him.
You so see, he became your purpose.
He became my purpose that I need to survive. It's no longer about me surviving. I needed to survive for my little brother. I lost my older brother. He was 20 years old, Robert. But I'm not going to lose my little brother because he was scared. So therefore, it's my responsibility. It's a choice I had to make. And taking the lesson I learned and turn it into looking at my brother and see the light through him.
Yes.
To keep me going every day.
Yes.
So I think with all this happened, and every time we learn something, we make a choice to learn from it or we make a choice not to learn from it. And even in that age, I had to make a choice to survive. There was no place to say, okay, well, we're going to have you, you're going to talk to therapy. Well, talk to therapy. You have to take care of your brother. And you have to survive and stay with no food and no water. And the school was all dirty because they couldn't keep it up. So it was a scary time not to have my family and everything. But yet, I chose, not because I'm a strong person, I hold on all that. It's because I made a choice to dig deep and see what's going to keep me going. What is it going to keep me going here?
Yes.
I have to grow up fast, basically.
Yes. Yeah, I imagine you did. Thank you. Amy, this is Judy Mario, and this is Choices, and today we are talking with Amy Kadashian. Amy is the author of Tears of Hope, and it's a riveting story. I hope you'll go to Amazon and purchase it, or go to your local bookstore and ask for it and purchase it. I read it, and let me tell you, it was absolutely riveting story. It's her life story, but it's got so many lessons in it. And listeners, I just want you to know that we're talking about the things that you asked to have us talk about here on this show. So every show I do is coming from you. And what I want you to do is go to my website and send me an email and let me know what kind of other guests that you would like to hear. That's Judy at judymorio.com. That's J-U-D-I. At JUDIMOREO.com. And while you're there, just sign up for our newsletter. Once you sign up for the newsletter, you're going to get a free audio download of Realize Who You Are. And so thank you for joining us today as we're talking with Amy Kadashian. And Amy, you were just saying that we get strength from many different sources and that you had to have the strength for your brother. And what happened then?
Well, what happened then is the life didn't stop, you know, and choices didn't stop. I had to continue living that way for a while and then get back together with my family. Of course, we were homeless. We had no home to go to. Finally, we kept together, and we slept on the couch of an empty home. But it was beautiful when we got together. It was like in heaven. We were sleeping on the floor. We were having that sort of like the boxes where you pack your stuff and those kind of boxes, put them on the floor, and candle to light up at night, and a little bit of water and here and there covers to cover ourselves. People is there to give us. But I'm telling you, Judy, it was an absolutely, absolutely gift just to have each other.
Oh, I'm sure.
At that moment, just when we reunited for a little bit. And
so many times, we don't appreciate those gifts. I think we here in America have so much. We never think about that we might have to, one day, everything would be gone and we would have to sleep on the floor and sit on boxes and just depend on other people to help us. And, I mean, what a blessing to have each other back together. And, you know, we don't think about that. I'm so glad to hear you say that because it's important for each of us to realize how much we have.
Yes. And you know, you understand the value of just breathing and being and just being in the moment with love and connection and those things you cannot buy. That's the problem is we here we think, okay, we have a nice car, we have a nice house, we have nice furniture, we can buy people's love, or we can people gonna respect us more, people gonna love us more, people gonna give us their attention more. But it's not the right love, it's not the right attention, and your body is not feeding, you're not feeding your soul. And then when you are down completely and people are giving you and you're giving them back love or appreciation, you'll feel the real love, the real connection. And that's something you cannot buy. You cannot put price on.
No, you can't. Now, how are you, in your book, you're explaining to us about your life. And why do you feel that you need to help other people find their purpose? What is that about?
Well, in the first place, every person has some kind of gift in this on this earth. All of us, we have special gift that has been given to us specifically, like our fingerprint. Since when I was a kid, I always wanted to help others because I was put down in my school. Because I didn't know how to read and write. I was in the fourth grade when I was 12 years old. I was repeating class year after year. So when I was put down so much, I looked at these people and I felt they are in pain. That's why they're pouring me down. And I wanted to get old, when I get older, I wanted to be a teacher. I want to help people not to feel bad about themselves and hurt other people. And I want everyone to shine. Everyone deserves to shine. So to me, my dyslexia, my disability was my gift in giving other people opportunity to shine. And that was my main thing that I wanted to do in life. That was my mission at first place. And then when my father passed on his wisdom and my brother before he died, he let me understand that to believe in myself and I have my why, he understood that, and then he said, you have some one thing you need to believe in yourself, and then he died. So he left me with some wisdom words, and my father left me with wisdom words, and why not I could leave the wisdom words I got from my brother and my father and the lessons I learned and helped me to have wisdom, leave it behind me and leave a legacy behind me to how people connect with their soul and see light through darkness. Why not? If I could share the tools that I have used to overcome all this obstacle I've been through, all the darkness that I've been through, and share it with others like my father shared it with me, why not? We're all here going to leave a legacy behind us, and I feel that's my purpose in life. That's why my life is free.
Exactly, and I think you're leaving a legacy, and also you're fulfilling your dream of becoming a teacher, because while you may not be in a classroom, you're teaching people all over the world, because you speak and seminars and programs and at conventions, and you're available to speak to all kinds of groups, and that is teaching, and your message and the lessons that you teach are so strong that it's lessons that everybody needs to learn.
Thank you.
And aren't you on the faculty? I believe you're on the faculty for iLearning Global TV as well, aren't you?
Yeah, I was. Now they switched for something different, but I definitely was with them for a while. Yeah, and they were really strong.
So, Amy, if somebody wanted to get a hold of you and maybe hire you to do a program or to tell your story, how would they go about getting a hold of you?
Sure, they could go to reachingyourlight.com, reachingyourlight.com. And, of course, they could find me through there. I have a place for the media and event planners and contact me and all that good stuff. And also they can get my book from there. They could download it as an ebook right away, or on audio CD. They could download it right away from my website.
Oh, that's great. So listeners, go over to reachingyourlight.com and you can get Amy's book right there. You can even get an ebook and download it to your reader right away. So be sure to do that. And Amy, what do you want the people to walk away with after they read your book?
Well, the purpose, again, maybe a little bit writing the book is to help people see light through darkness, and also I wanna not only through my speaking, I'm giving out from the prophet, some of the prophets from the book, and also the song has been, we made a song for my book named Rise Above, and all the prophets from Rise Above is going to help children around the world that went through war and tragedies. And also I have a community. When you go to my website, I have Amy and the Expert community where people could go in and ask the experts. And also I have the Amy Kardashian Show. I have the my seminar, Life Transformation Seminar. So there's a lot of things I'm providing to help people around the world. So what I would like them to walk away, what they will walk away from this book is, my goal is for them to be inspired, empowered, and encouraged to take action towards a better life. That's my goal, for them to walk away from it. And I have received hundreds of emails how this book helps them in their life. So if you could walk away with one thing from this book and it can help you see the light, I am thrilled and so happy for people to see the light through their darkness.
Now, when did you come to the United States?
I came 1988.
And you were what, in your 20s at that time?
I was in the 25.
Yeah, and let me ask you this, were you afraid even then?
Of course. I mean, fear doesn't leave us, and I think fear, we must have some kind of fear, but it's like you said, how you make a choice how to deal with your fear. Either the fear would take you over or you take over the fear. And I had 10-year-old daughter at that time because, you know, we didn't mention I was married at 14 and I had my daughter. I was 15 years old. My husband left me when I was 17, so I wasn't living in the war. But when I came here and I was, I had to make a choice to stay. It's a long story, but we're going to go in the short version of it.
Short version today.
Yeah, exactly. I had to stay here with the daughter to raise. I did not know how to speak English at all. I basically knew how to count to 10, say hello, what is your name, that's it. It was scary having only a couple hundred in my pocket with 10-year-old, and people were telling me, you're not going to be able to make it here. You need to go back to your country. And I was looking at the people's eyes, and I said, you don't understand. I have my why, and I'm not taking my why back to war.
No.
I want a better life for me and my daughters. I could make it over there. I'll make it over here. Now, doesn't mean I wasn't faced with something completely different than the war. It was a different kind of war because it's unknown and it's a different country. So I was basically homeless in this country, in the United States.
Again, you were homeless, huh?
Oh, absolutely. I had nowhere to go. I had $200. I was, finally I got to stay with the roommate where me and my daughter stayed in the living room. And I was working, didn't speak English or anything, was taking advantage of, they were giving me $3 an hour. I basically stayed, didn't eat at night, so I could make sure my daughter, she had food. And people were spending and giving me leftovers sometimes, just to keep me healthy and keep me going a little bit. So I received help here and there as much as I, you know, people could. And they were looking at me like, how are you going to make it here? There is no way you're going to make it here. So and that was another journey. That was another journey, another story, how I lived in this, you know, overcame all that here. It wasn't like I came here and I had a family with open arm and I had everything ready for me. It was another whole book.
Right. And as I listened to you and as I read your book, you didn't have just one challenge in life. You've had challenge after challenge after challenge. And throughout it all, you've always had this incredible ability to find why, to find your purpose, to say that this is why I can hang on. This is why I'm doing this. And I think you are such an inspiration for so many of us. You give us the thought that perhaps if Amy with dyslexia was not having her country to live in, was not having her family around her, if she can do this, if she can survive, if she can thrive, if she can become successful, if she can write books, well then maybe I could too. And you're such a good role model for so many of us. I've been so honored to know you and to spend time with you and to know that you have gone through what you've gone through and you've come to this other side. And listeners, I just really encourage you to read Amy's book and to go to her website, reachingyourlight.com, and sign up for one of her seminars. She absolutely does the most phenomenal seminars. I've attended a couple of them, and they've just been great. And she will help you learn how to overcome your obstacles, get through hardships and challenges, because she is an inspiration and she is a real success. Amy, once again, where can people find you?
Thank you so much. Before that, thank you. It's a pleasure just to know you. You are inspiration to me. And really, I look at you and I see you, how you kept going with your obstacles, with the challenges, and how you're helping people now, especially with the you went through the your situation with the cancer, and you turned it around and you wrote a book about it and you're teaching about it. I mean, you are incredible yourself. I'm so blessed to know you, Julie. I'm really, really blessed to know you.
Thank you. I think we're kind of in a mutual admiration club here.
Yeah.
We like each other so much, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. So if you want to read, they can, reachingyourlight.com, basically, where people could find me. But I can't thank you enough for being in my life, really.
Well, you've been a pleasure to have in my life. I thank you for being my guest here today. Listeners, this is Judy Mario, and this is Choices, and we've been talking with Amy Kedoshian. She is the author of Tears of Hope. It is one of the most interesting books that I've read in a long time, and I'm so sorry that she had to live through all the tragedy, but she did come out on the other side very successful. The book does have a very happy ending, and I think you'll really, really enjoy that. Please, please write to me, Judy, at judymorio.com, or go to my website, judymorio.com, and sign up for my free newsletter, and you'll receive an audio download of my recording, Realize Who You Are, as well as the monthly newsletter, which is going to give you tips and techniques for building a better tomorrow. And while you're there, you might want to sign up for Choices Magazine. It comes out 4 times a year, and it has articles by all your favorite self-esteem authors. In fact, Amy Kedoshian will be having an article in the fall issue, which will be coming out very soon. So go there and sign up for Choices Magazine and our newsletter, Winning Solutions. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you, Amy, and everyone. Remember this. Remember that you are more than enough.